Hello everybody, my name is Sundar. Welcome to this CS50 seminar. It's great to see so many people here in person, and hello to everyone tuning in online as well. So just a little bit about myself before we get started. So like I said, my name is Sundar. I'm a junior here at Harvard, and I live in Currier House. I study computer science, and I also really love statistics. I was on CS50 staff last year as a teaching fellow, and I'm really happy to be back and sharing this technology through Google with a lot of their really useful APIs. I spent this past summer interning at Google in California, where I was on the G Suite team, and I'll tell you a lot more about the various APIs that we have and how you can use those in your own final projects or whatever else you may be working on. So let's get started. Okay, so what is G Suite? It's essentially a platform of all your favorite Google applications, including but not limited to what you see here, including Gmail, Calendar, Docs, Sheets, Slides, Forms, and all these other really useful tools for productivity. And so G Suite has both the consumer applications that you're used to, but also a big part of it is the enterprise solutions. So for instance, at college, we have @college.harvard.edu email addresses, which are done through G Suite. And so all the services that we use have Google products that tie into them. So for instance, I could look at my college calendar through Google Calendar. And today, the focus is going to be on the various APIs that you can use to programmatically interact with G Suite. So in addition to being probably a user of these products, you can be a developer and incorporate programmatic interactions with these platforms so that users of your own applications might be able to generate spreadsheets on the fly, or once a Google form gets submitted, perhaps a certain action takes place every time someone submits a form. And so we'll talk about different examples like that, and then you can brainstorm on your own to see how that might work into your own workflows. So I'm going to spend the first part of this talk describing how you might interact with the APIs in the traditional way. And then we'll talk about Google Apps Script, which is this really amazing, and I'm surprised by how many people still haven't heard of it, because it's fabulous in how quickly you can interact with the Google APIs without really having to do any overhead in getting started. So we'll talk about the traditional way first, and then we'll get into that too. Okay. So say I want to create a project, and I want to use the YouTube API. So how would I do that? So the first step is to navigate to console.developers.google.com, and this is the developer console where you can create a project. So you see here there's that select a project dropdown, and you can either use an existing project or create a new one. So you navigate there and do whatever's appropriate. And then you can enable whichever APIs you think you might be using in your application. And so you'll see here that there are really a ton of APIs available. I think since I created this slide, the interface has actually changed a tiny bit. But the point remains that there are a lot of APIs from Android to YouTube to G Suite that you can just flip on. And then you can get the credentials to actually use those APIs in your application. So this is in the library tab that you see here. But once you enable the APIs, then you can get the credentials at the next step. And so once you get the credentials, you can download what's called an API key, and then use that to prove to Google, hey, it's me. I'm going to be using the Google Drive API. Let me read files from Drive. Okay, so you do that. And now I'm going to show some Python examples of how you might actually do this auth process to prove to Google you are indeed who you say you are, and therefore you should have access to the API. So there's two different kinds of auth that you could be doing, either simple or authorized. And so I'll point out the distinction here, and then we'll dig in a little bit to what this code actually does and what the differences are. So in one case, the simpler case, you have simple API access. And this is for things such as the YouTube Data API, where the point of you interacting with the API is not to do anything that's really user-specific. So more just general, I want to search YouTube and show the top 10 cat videos or something like that. And on the other hand, you might need more sophisticated authorization because you might be parsing a user's Gmail messages and then creating calendar events based on that. And so that requires higher level access to what the user actually wants to be doing. And so for that reason, you're going to need to do a little bit more in the boilerplate. So let's actually take a look at this. Okay. So these examples are in Python. But that doesn't mean that you're restricted to Python. In fact, you can basically use any programming language you want. And the Google API client library should be available for that. And you can always use it in with HTTP GET and POST requests as well. So looking at the simple API access boilerplate, it's really only three lines. So first, we import the API client. So that's what you can install through Google. So in Python, you would just say something like pip install and then like Google API client libraries or something like that. And this is all available on the website on developers.google.com. So once you have that installed, you'd import it. And then back to those credentials that I was showing earlier in the developer console, you can get an API key from there. And so this is some very long string that is unique to you and shows Google that you are whichever user is trying to use a particular API. So you paste in that key here. And something that I'll point out is that if you're writing an actual application that you intend to be used by many people, for security purposes, you probably don't want your API key just sitting around in the source code. That's something that's best kept in a more secure place that you then pull in over here, but it shouldn't just be plainly visible to everybody. But you put that in nonetheless. And then finally, you do this in line 8, service equals discovery.build, and then you specify what kind of API you want to be using. And so the idea here is that as a string, in that first parameter, you're stating, I want to use the YouTube API. And then you specify what version, and then it's pulling in the key that you said earlier as that third argument. And then together, what you're getting back is this actual API client that you can then do various function calls from, such as searching YouTube for your favorite cat videos. Okay, so let's keep going. On the other hand, like I mentioned, we have authorized API access. And so it's a little bit more sophisticated what's going on here. I'm not going to delve into it too deep, but just the points that you would need to get started on your own applications. Because what I hate the most is we go through CS50 and we all become these rock star programmers, but we get limited by the actual boilerplate that's needed to get started. So try using this. And to give you some general sense of what's going on, we're doing our imports at the top. But then line 5 is key. So this line that says scopes, what we're doing there is we're specifying what parts of the APIs we want to be using. And so in addition to saying, I want to use the Drive API, you might provide one or more specific scopes within that API. So for instance, you might be writing an application that needs only to read files from Drive and doesn't request any writes from the user. And so if that's the case, then you'd want to use the drive.read-only scope. And there are similar scopes in Gmail and Slides and other G Suite and Google API products. And so the advantage of using the tightest scope possible is that when a dialog appears for the user to verify, yes, I'd like this application to have access to my Drive files, it's more secure for the user because they don't have to give full access to the files. They only need to give read access or write access or whatever you actually need for the application. So that's just a good practice. Okay, and so after you establish your scopes, you go through this auth flow in lines 9 to 13. But then once you get through that, at the end of the day, you're still building the service like you did before. And so after this top section, then you can get to your actual application, which is the fun part. Okay. I'll just point out that you can use multiple scopes, so you're not limited to a single scope. And there, you can say, I want to use Drive, I want to use Sheets, I want to use Slides, and create a huge integration. So that's really exciting, too. And now let's talk about some examples of what you can do with the API. And if the live demo gods are on my side, we'll actually see some examples of these scripts in action. Okay. So the first one that we're going to talk about is this searching YouTube for videos. And so what's going on here, this is a simple API access because all we're doing is searching. We're not requiring anything about the user's identity. And so we just use the API key as before. And then what we do is we have this section from lines 5 to 8 that's basically helping us print out what videos we uncover. But the key part here, and what I really want you to focus on with actually interacting with the API, is that in line 10, after we get access to the YouTube API, in line 11, that's where we're doing the actual search. And so you'll see that we're going YouTube.search. And then within .search, we have this method called list. And so with list, you can specify what exactly you're trying to search for. And so we do that here with a query. And so if you look at what capital query has actually been established as in line 5, we see that it's Python. And so what this is doing is it's searching YouTube for videos related to Python. And then in lines 14 through 17, this is all just normal Python. It has nothing to do with the APIs themselves. We're just iterating through what we get back that was stored as the result, or RES, res. And then we iterate over that, and we just print out every YouTube video that we uncover. Okay, so let's take a look at this in action. So I will close out of the slides for a second. Okay. So I have this example script pulled up here just to show you. It's the same exact thing. I made one slight change, and that was instead of having query be Python, I have it as sys.argv1. And so this just looks at the command line arguments when I call the script and looks at the first one that we supply. And so you'll notice here that these scripts are very easy to modify. And if you know Python, you can do really whatever you want with them. So use the API as an access point to these Google technologies, but then bring in your own creativity to do whatever you really want to do. The sky's the limit when it comes to programming. Okay, so let's actually run this. So the way I run it is Python, and the name of the script, and then whatever I want to search for. So for instance, I might want to search for videos on CS50. So I do that. And let's see what we get back. Oh, I'm having some issues with my Python 3, so I'm going to use Python 2. But this script should work for either one. I just had a package installation error. So let's do this with Python 2. It's searching, and then there we go. We get back the top 5 videos on CS50. Cool. So let's go back to our examples here. Okay, so that was an example of simple API access. And now let's touch on a more sophisticated example where you actually need to get the user to go into their Google Drive account, or rather have the API go into a user's Google Drive account. And so the boilerplate is very similar to what I showed earlier. And you'll see here that we're using the read-only scope from Google Drive. And then the action happens in line 14. So in line 14, we get back, we build the service. And then in line 15, we're actually listing the files that we want. And so what this is doing is that it lists all the files that someone has, and then it iterates in lines 16 and 17 over those files that come back and just prints out their name. All right. You can also do things with sheets and slides. So the Slides API, I think it came out maybe a year or a year and a half ago, really exciting, and you can think of a lot of neat use cases for this. So for instance, suppose I were to give a lot of talks like this, but because I do them in different locations, the title slide needs to reflect where I'm giving the talk. Well, perhaps I could just create a script that would take a template deck and then edit the title slide so that it fits whatever talk I'm going to be giving that day. So you can imagine these customized presentations. You might be in an executive or reporting to an executive at a business, and you'd want to give a slide deck every quarter with the performance for the company. And so you can create charts maybe in Google Sheets, and then have those sent right into slides every quarter for your presentation to the boss. Okay. And we have a really cool example on GitHub that is a converter from Markdown to Google Slides. So check that out too. Okay. So the example that I'll show now is the ability to create a template deck, put in some placeholder texts or shapes, and then replace those placeholders with images or text that you really want to use. And so this is useful, again, for that use case where you might be creating the same or similar presentation for a lot of different spaces. And so being able to start with one common template and then going from there. And so we'll see in this example with the Slides API, and it's very similar in the Sheets API among a few others, that the request that you create, so what you actually want to be doing to interact with your slide deck or to interact with your spreadsheet, goes in this JSON-like structure. And so in Python, it's a dictionary. Here called, so we have an array, or a list, I should say, of requests, and each one is this JSON-esque blob. And so you'll see here that we have these two specific requests happening, replace all text and replace all shapes with image. And so the first part here is finding the title and then replacing that with Hello World. And then the second part is looking for something that says logo and sticking in a particular image that we want to include. And then while we create those requests, they don't actually get executed until you use the batch update command. And so that's key here, is that we create all our requests at once, and then we send them over using batch update. And this is really useful, because rather than having to ping the API hundreds of times, you can bundle all your requests together and then do it in one shot. And so this is helpful to help avoiding hitting the API limit that is imposed on these APIs to make sure that you're using them reasonably. Okay, so let's try this in action. I have a modified version of the script. So head over to my terminal. I think I called it slides.py. So I'll show you the entire script before we run it. So there's a lot more code here, but much of it is just that same auth flow that you've seen earlier. So we have that in the beginning. And then I'll just point out here, we're going to be using an image file that I have stored on Google Drive called logo.png. And then I'm going to be using a template file called slides example. So the script is going to duplicate my slides example slideshow, and then I'm going to modify that new slideshow in order to have the logo picture as well as the text that I want to include. And so because I'm going to be copying a file in Google Drive, I'm going to actually need the drive scope here. So I have that listed first, and then I also have the presentation scope so that I can do the modifications on the slide deck once I've copied it. Okay, so I go through and I use my discovery.build to get my drive and my slides access. And then what we have down here is we're looking through drive, so we're listing all files that have the name of the template file. And the template file, I think I called it slides example. So we go through drive and we find anything that's called slides example. And then you see here at the end of the line, we have this bracket 0 that gets us the first element in the list. So Python is 0 indexed. And so that will get us the first document or first file that is named slides example. So we do that. And then what we're going to do is we're going to use the Drive API again in line 25 to copy that original file and create a new one called Google Slides API Template Demo, which we've specified over here. So we copy that, right? But now all we have is a duplicate of that original slide deck. So what we want to do is we want to edit it and replace the contents of that slide deck with the customized information that we specified up top. So we have to find, first of all, where the rectangle placeholder is that we're going to be replacing in order to include the new image, that logo.png. So here we use the Slides API, and then we find the first slide. So we're getting all the slides, and then we find the first one using bracket 0. And then we iterate over all the elements on the slide until we find something that is of the shape rectangle. That's what's going on there. Then what we do is we go back to the Drive API, and we find whatever image is called logo.png, because that's what I specified that I want to be using. And then finally, once we've identified all those key components, we actually need to put them together. And so here you'll see those requests that I was talking about earlier. And so the idea is that we are doing both the replacement of the placeholder text with the text Hello World, and we're also going to be replacing the rectangle with the image, the logo picture that I've been talking about. And that image is just going to fit into the exact same space that the rectangle was in originally. And then finally, we use our batch update to actually make that happen, and then we print out done, because we're all done. Okay, so let's try this out. So I'll just show you the template slide deck first. So that we have here, it's called slides example. All right, now I'm going to go back to my terminal and actually run the script. So this one is python slides.py. And let's see if that works. Okay, so it's copying, it's finding everything, and then it's replacing. And now it's done. Okay, so I'm going to navigate back to my drive. And there we go. We have a new deck that has just been created at 9:55 a.m. Okay, so I'm going to open that up. And there we go. So the CS50 logo that's loading up there. And then we also have Hello World that has replaced the text that we had on the original slide deck. Pretty cool, right? So this is a very simple toy example, but I challenge you to explore a lot further with that and turn it into something that's really useful for a problem that you have in your own life. And like I said earlier, it's very feasible to integrate multiple APIs together and create a tool that might go into Sheets, get data, turn that into charts, and then put that into a deck. Okay. So back to this. Okay, so I've been talking about the Google Sheets API as well. This is a really powerful API, and I'll show you a project that I did with it in a second. But I've been mentioning you can do customized reporting. You can also have data come out of Sheets. So perhaps you want to, perhaps you have people logging things into a Google form, and then you want to take that data from Sheets and then move it somewhere else. And so you can do that programmatically with the Sheets API. And to give you an example of something that I worked on personally with this, I used a really neat tool called Google BigQuery, which also has a very useful API. And what's cool about that is that you have access to these enormous data sets, gigabytes or larger in size, and you can query them in seconds or even fractions of a second using familiar SQL commands. So I think by this time in CS50, you should be learning about SQL, which is this really friendly language for pulling out information from databases. And so here what I did was I used Google BigQuery. It comes with these really neat example data sets. So I took the pitch-by-pitch data for every pitch thrown in the 2016 MLB season, which is pretty topical at the moment, in fact. And so I took all that data and I aggregated it into dashboards for every team in the MLB so that we can compare how different pitchers are doing and how different hitters are doing. And then I applied conditional formatting to every different column and created this heat map where you can see who's excelling and who's not. And then there are other aspects to this project, such as a chart that shows who's throwing the most fastballs or who's throwing the most screwballs. And so it's a great way to visualize data through a spreadsheet. All right, so enough on that. I'm going to shift gears now to describing Google AppScript. AppScript is this really neat, powerful platform by which you can interact with the Google APIs without having to go through any of the headache that comes along with the auth process. And it just feels like a much more native approach to dealing with the Google products. So it's really easy to get started, and we'll do some neat examples today as well. Okay. So what exactly is AppScript? Well, it's symbolized by this icon. And it's just a new flavor of JavaScript, if you will. It takes away the API flavor. So whatever we've been seeing earlier with Python or whatever other language you might be using, you don't actually have to use the Google APIs as an API. It's as if it's built in to the environment. And what makes that really nice is that you don't have to worry about setting up anything with auth. Things just work right out of the box. Super friendly. You don't have to install any packages. Everything just works, and it's all done on the web. And there's an IDE found at script.google.com where you can get coding right now. Okay. And the thing I really want to emphasize is that it's literally just JavaScript. And so in CS50, you will be, if you haven't already, working with JavaScript. And so you can apply all those ideas that you have learned with some additional Google-specific tools. And then you have access to this wide platform full of APIs that's built right into the language. Okay. And so I want to emphasize this isn't just about G Suite. It's a way to interact with a ton of different Google products. So you have all your favorites here, like Sheets and Slides. But in addition to that, you can be using so many other things too. And we'll see a list in a second. But one more thing is that AppScript can be used to create add-ons. And this is really exciting because you can modify the basic environment in which someone might be using a G Suite product. So for instance, in Google Docs, sometimes it's really helpful if I'm working on something that's mathematical to be able to type in really sophisticated notation. For that, using LaTeX is a great tool. And so there's an add-on for Google Docs where I can type in LaTeX into a sidebar that appears, and then that can be inserted directly into my document. That's really neat. And what's especially new, it came out just last week, in fact, are Gmail add-ons. So this is a way, think of it as a Chrome extension for Gmail. This is a way that you can directly extend the Gmail UI to have custom things happen based on the contents of an email message. And so I'll give you an example of how I created one in the past and how you might be able to make one yourself. So that's like at the cutting edge right now. Highly recommend that you try that because it's such a new product and there's a lot of room out there for exploration. Okay. But as I mentioned, there's so many Google services that can be used through AppScript, not just the G Suite APIs. And so you can use Maps, YouTube, and a number of others. And to give you a full list, just check this out. So a ton here. I'm not even going to go through all of them. But there's really so much you could be doing, especially when you try mixing and matching them together. Okay. But how do you actually do this? So let's take a look at that. Okay. So we're going to start with an easy example, and then we'll work our way over to Gmail add-ons, that really new feature that I was talking about that just came out last week. Okay. So before we actually see the code, I just want to give you some context as to what kinds of scripts you might be writing. And so just a few there. We have standalone scripts, which are probably the most basic, easiest way to get started. You can just go to script.google.com and then start writing code. And then you have a little play button that appears at the top, and you can click that and have your functions execute. That's the easiest way to get started, no headache at all. But it's also really easy to go to a document and then go to Tools, and then Script Editor. And so you can do this with Docs, Sheets, Slides, or Forms. Just go to the Tools menu in the normal UI, and then click on Script Editor, and then create a script that is bound to that specific document. And so what that means is for that particular Google Slides deck, you might be able to write a program that changes all the colors to black and white, if that's what you want to do. And you can also use this interface to create custom add-ons that can then be attached or opened up in a particular product, such as Docs or Gmail, as I mentioned before. So that's one option. And then the last option is to create a full web app using AppScript. I'm not really going to talk about that too much today, but all the documentation is available online. And if we understand the fundamentals from just creating standalone scripts and add-ons, you can extend that to creating your own web apps entirely through through AppScript. Remember, it's just JavaScript. OK. So how would you actually create the project? As I mentioned, you go to Tools, Script Editor, and then you open up this IDE where you can specify what exactly you want to be doing. And so then let's actually try this Hello World code. So it's really simple here. And in fact, both of these examples are equivalent, just to highlight that you can write the JavaScript in a single line, or you can spread it out where you have each call on a separate line, and you chain together these calls. And so what this is doing, we open this up through a spreadsheet. So this is a document-bound script. So I go to my spreadsheet, tool, script editor, and then I paste in this code. And just from reading this one line, what we're doing is we're getting the current sheet, we're finding what's in cell A1, so that's the top left corner, and then we're just going to set the contents of that cell to Hello World. All right, and let's try that out. OK, so I have, actually, I'll come back to that in a second. That's simple enough, but I'll show you a slightly more sophisticated example that will be, I think, a little bit more interesting. Okay. So this, you just paste in the code editor, and then you hit the little play icon, and then it'll ask you first for permission. And so this is the really cool part about all the authorization happening under the hood. You don't even have to worry about it, but Google takes care of it for you. You allow the application to do its trick, and then Hello World gets inserted in cell A1. And there's a video that talks about this as well. So you can take a look at that if you want a little more in-depth look at this snippet. But before I show the example with the maps interaction, let's just take a look at this toy example that shows you what you could be doing with Google Apps Script. So I'll give you a minute to read that, and then we can see what it does. So just take a second, process that. There's a lot going on here. But it's amazing that it's just using all these different Google products together. So I'll give you a few seconds to look at that. All right, now that you have some vague idea of what's going on, I'll parse through it. So what we're doing is we're starting out by just getting all the files that are Google Docs from Drive. So that uses both Drive and Docs. And then we're going through contacts, and we're finding all the people in your address book. That's with the get contacts. And then we have this loop in JavaScript, and we're just iterating over all the documents that you got back, and we're getting the content from the documents as a string, and we are translating that from EN to CY, so from English to Cyrillic. So we translate all our documents, and for every document that we translate, we're going to iterate over all our friends, and we're going to send an email with the document to every single one of our friends. So probably not the most useful script, but a very good example of how you can basically do whatever you want to do that involves Google products. Plus, you can also incorporate third-party APIs if you really want to in AppScript. So there's no limit there. OK. But now the example that I really want to show, it's a very small example, but I think it opens the door for so much more that you could be doing. So we have this spreadsheet, and it's going to have an address that we place in the spreadsheet. And so this might be your user of your application. So they put in the address into the spreadsheet, and then you're going to run a script. And what the script will do is it's going to find whatever address is in the spreadsheet. And so that's what's the get range A2. That's what that's doing. And then it's going to create a map and put a marker wherever the address is. And then finally, it's going to get the URL for that map and stick it into the spreadsheet again. Okay? And so what that's going to do is it's going to create an example like this. And so here, you have a little bit more going on with multiple markers. But you could easily write a loop that loops over the spreadsheet and then places in a marker for every single address that a user has inputted. So let's see this in action. OK. So I'm going to go back to my spreadsheet. And so I've already created the basic spreadsheet here. And since I live in Currier House at Harvard, I've put that in as the address. And then I'm going to go to Tools, Script Editor. And that brings us to our IDE. Okay, and so we have this file here. So the same exact code that you saw before. We're getting the spreadsheet, finding the value in cell A2. So that's going to be Currier House. We are creating a map, and then we are getting the URL from the map and setting that value as what goes into cell B2. So I'm going to hit run. And that should be it. So I go back to my spreadsheet. You see this link has been put in. And I click on the link. And there you go. That's where I live at Harvard. Pretty cool. OK. So back to our deck. You might want to extend this. So for instance, all it takes is one extra line, and then you can send an email through the Gmail interface and specify, I just want to send this link to this person, and then there you go. And that email parameter right there, that would just be some kind of JSON structure where you specify the to and the subject and the contents of the message. And so you could easily put in the URL and then have that sent off to one or even many friends from your address book. Another example, suppose that you are a business owner and you publish a lot of YouTube videos and you want to get some analytics on how those YouTube videos are doing. And so you might have an entire spreadsheet where these video IDs are logged. Or perhaps you have a Google form and that every time you upload a YouTube video, you paste in the ID. Or even better, you could use the YouTube API that keeps track of any time that you upload a new video and then puts the IDs in the spreadsheets. And then you could also use the YouTube API to get the title of the video as well as how many views it's gotten. Right? And then all it takes is some app script here. And then we have example videos that will go into more depth about how this actually works. But you'll see that in just 5 lines of code inside the function, that's all it really takes to get all the information. And then you just stick it right back into your spreadsheet. Okay. So let's talk about some potential use cases that you might want to be doing. I've alluded to some of them in a business context, but there's really so much, and I think AppScript is for everyone. Whether you want to write a simple script to get the job done once, or write something more sustainable that serves an organization. Okay, and so I've talked about some of the business use cases already, but in addition to that, perhaps you want to do stuff with calendars and maybe helping people share common resources. That's what the resource management bullet's all about. And so you might have a common room at Harvard that you want to allocate to different people, and so you could write a script that fairly allocates that. Or maybe people send an email and say, I want to book this room for a particular time, and then AppScript will take care of it, update it on a spreadsheet or on a calendar, and then give you a confirmation email. And there's a lot of automation that can be done with AppScript. So maybe people are emailing in files to a particular Gmail alias, and then you are uploading those files from Gmail to Google Drive and keeping an organized file structure of all the permission slips that people are sending in for a field trip. And so there's more that you can do with reporting, so finding data periodically and then compiling beautiful spreadsheets or slideshows with that. And then the integration glue bullet, that alludes to how you might be using these third-party APIs from Twitter or Salesforce, or something that I was using the other day was this website called Rebrandly. And Rebrandly is really neat in that it allows you to create customized short links for your domain. And so what I did was I created the Google form that every time the Google form gets submitted, a certain trigger. So on edit, whenever the spreadsheet tied to the Google form, on submit, anytime the Google form got submitted, a particular action script got fired. And so what I did was I had a form that would let someone specify a long URL and then a short URL. And then they could, for my student organization, every time they submit the form, the long URL gets rerouted to the short URL using the Rebrandly API. So there's so much you could be doing, and I urge you to think about other ways that you might be serving your own organizations that matter in your life. Okay. Education is also a huge user of G Suite. We use it here at Harvard, and plenty of other schools use it as well. And you might want to create some classroom management tools using Google Apps Script. And then a really popular one that a lot of people have been using is called Yet Another Mail Merge, or YAM. And this is a way to use a spreadsheet through an add-on. So you can go to the top menu and find an add-on and install YAM, or Yet Another Mail Merge, and then specify a message and then who you want to be sending it to. And then with one run of the script or with the add-on, you can send that customized message to many people in your inbox. And this is great if you're trying to do publicity or otherwise send a customized message to many people. And that's written using Google Apps Script. And then you can do other things, such as like an out-of-office calendar for your team at the workplace. Okay. So just to recap, it's all just JavaScript, so that makes it incredibly easy. And it's done server-side, so you don't even have to install anything locally. It's all done in Google's cloud. It's different from Node.js, so that is also server-side, but not really what we're doing here. And you don't need to learn anything new, because it is literally just JavaScript. you have access to all those amazing Google technologies that I've been talking about, but programmatic access in the way that you can have bulk actions taking place and things that otherwise would be impossible or at least extremely time-consuming, such as creating 100 slide decks at once. And then you have access to external resources too through third-party APIs. But everything feels built in just by nature of how the language is structured, which is really neat. And you don't have to worry about deployment or authentication or anything like that. And there's so many different things you could be doing with it, such as writing your own scripts, creating add-ons, or building your own web apps as well. Okay, so consider exploring all of that. But what we're going to do now is we're going to take a look at a Gmail add-on use case and how you might get started with that. So before I actually show the code that goes into a Gmail add-on, because it's so new, let me show you how a Gmail add-on actually works. So I'm going to navigate over to Gmail here. And I have this receipt that I've gotten from my friend Danny. So Danny paid me $8, and I might want to log that into a spreadsheet. And so you'll notice on the right-hand side, this is what's new, is that you have access to these little add-ons that you can click on, and then you can interact with in various ways. So the one that I built right here is called ExpenseIt, and it looks like a little receipt. So I'm going to click on that, and let's see what happens. So we have this little form that appears. And so it says, log your expense. It has an expense ID based on how many times I've used this already. It finds the date of the expense through the email. So this email was sent on October 29th, and so it finds that. How much the expense was. So it reads my message, identifies that it was $8, finds out what the expense was about. So this is just based on the subject of the email. And then finally, where the expense should be logged, and that's just the URL of a spreadsheet. And I also have the option of creating a new spreadsheet if I want to. So perhaps I went on a business trip over the last weekend, and I want to compile all my expenses from that trip in particular. So then I can create a new spreadsheet. Maybe I'll call it like weekend expenses. So I create the new sheet. So this is going to fire off through Google Apps Script. And then you'll see up top in green, it says it's created the weekend expenses spreadsheet. And now that URL has been replaced down here, and I can submit my expense. I'm going to submit my expense, and then I can open the spreadsheet. So I've logged it successfully. Let me actually see that. Then I'm going to open up the spreadsheet. And then there you go. Expense number 31 has been logged in to the spreadsheet. It says that Danny paid me $8. Great. I have it there, and I can do that with all my emails to get my entire trip summarized in one spreadsheet. Okay. So that's the add-on in general. And you can imagine a lot of other possibilities with this. Perhaps you might be an airline, and you want to allow users to check into your flight directly from within Gmail. So then you can have an add-on that appears on the side, and only when you have an email related to that particular airline, you can say check into the flight if it's 24 hours beforehand. And there's so many other things you could be doing. So really consider building this into your own workflow, and it might help with your productivity a ton. Okay, so how do you actually create that? So we go back to AppScript, and so I have the code here already. I'll give you a quick tour of it, but there's also a video online on the Google Developers channel where I go into more depth about how you might create this add-on. So just to give you a brief overview, we have a few different files here. And so they're .js files, but it's still JavaScript. It's just Google Apps Script layered on top of that. And so the one that I want to bring your attention to first is this appscript.json file. And so this is called the manifest file. And it's basically where you specify the general metadata that's associated with this add-on. So you specify what scopes you might want to be using. And then you also specify this really important part here is what function gets triggered when the add-on gets started. And so I have this function called getContextualAddon that's going to happen when the add-on is first used. So I'm going to jump over to getContextualAddon. And then so that's this function right here. And it's calling a lot of other functions that I wrote, but you get a sense of the overall gist of what's going on. And what's happening is that we are customizing what card should be displayed to the user. So the card is that UI that you see on the right-hand side. And then we're building that card and returning it so that the user can see it. And you can have add-ons that have multiple cards, and then you would just return an array of those various cards. And then the user can go between the different cards, and Google takes care of that UI for you. So the general idea is that we're getting the message, and then we're figuring out what the date was in the message, how much money was on the receipt, as well as what the message was about. And then we put all those things together, we create the card, and then we build it and we send it over so that the user can actually see it. So suppose you write all this code, And then you can find the actual code on GitHub if you want to try it yourself. But how would you actually deploy the add-on to get it working yourself? And so you can publish it to the G Suite marketplace where someone else from anywhere in the world can install your add-on. But say you just want to test it on your own, this is great for a final project if you're just debugging or you want to make sure things are working on your own machine first. What you can do is you can deploy from manifest. And so that's just looking at this appscript.json file, figuring out what it's all about, and then you can install it directly into your own Gmail. And so what you do is you go deploy from manifest. You can create a deployment. So we might call this test. I'm going to save that. And then you can get an ID. And so you would get this ID. And then you would go into Gmail. And then you can go to settings. And then you can copy and paste the ID into the Gmail add-ons part of settings. And then you would have the add-on appear on the right-hand side in your own emails. But if you want to release this more widely, then you'd have to publish it through the G Suite marketplace, which is very doable on its own. But I'm not going to go into that right now. And as a last point, I strongly recommend, if you're interested in making a Gmail add-on, that you try going through this example. So I've created the code lab available at g.co /codelabs/gmail-add-ons. And so this code lab will teach you step by step how you would build that add-on that I just showed you for logging your expenses. And so it'll go through a lot of interesting stuff about AppScript as well. So even if you're not looking to make a Gmail add-on, I think this is a great way to learn AppScript. You'll work with spreadsheets. You'll work with what's called a property store, which allows you to store data in between executions of the script as well. And so this is a great way to learn about creating a Gmail add-on, any other kind of add-on, or just using AppScript itself. All right. So with that, let's just wrap up. So I've already summarized all this. So let me just jump through that. Cool. So how do you keep going from there? There are a lot of videos and blog posts available online. Another really great resource that my mentor created is called the Core Python Programming Blog. And he writes out lots of code snippets, like you saw at the very beginning with the YouTube or the Slides API, that explain how you can be using the APIs through Python. But if you want to be using something else like Java, you can also look at those examples and then extend it into your own language. And so that's a great way to look at the APIs. But then you can also look at AppScript on the developers.google website. And we have a lot of videos as well. If you just search for the G Suite Dev Show on YouTube, you'll find a ton of really great videos that talk about different code examples in depth for 5 or 6 minutes. Try out the code lab. In addition to the Gmail add-ons code lab, there's also a code lab in the Sheets API as well as the Slides API. And both of those, I believe, are written using Node. So if you are a Node or JavaScript person, that's a great place to turn to. And then there's a lot of documentation available as well. So take a look at that website. But then also feel free to turn to Stack Overflow. And we also have a Google Plus page where you can check out the community and ask questions there. So I hope that helps. And I'll leave it at that. If you have any questions in the audience, feel free to ask me now. And anything online, just leave a note on YouTube. So thanks for tuning in. These slides are available online. And I hope you've learned something that you can use in real life. Thanks.